Rounding out our presentations is my friend, Evan Jones, the founder of Threads Audience Development and Stitch Media, to tell us about using big data to increase discoverability and to convert and retain fans.
Great. No pressure. So I'm here to talk about big data today. What we like to say is that you don't have to be big to use big data. The tools that we've worked on at Threads are something that we've developed on our own, and we are really excited to show you how we've applied it to some of our projects and talk through the thinking of it. So big data comes out of one big thing, which is that broadcasting is not the future. And I know that that might mean television and film continue to thrive, but publishing markets, all of these, are going to start looking at narrowcasting. And narrowcasting is different because it's a connected way of communicating. So big data comes out of narrowcasting, and one of the things that it emerges is that every single connection that a creator has with their audience is a unique connection. It's a transaction that is unrelated to every other transaction. We don't say that something's going to be broadcast through the airwaves. We now have a one-to-one connection every single time. The other is that we're not using something like airwaves or perhaps paper to communicate through these, and so the medium itself has a brain. It's able to make real-time decisions. There are algorithms and computers that are connecting the creators and the audiences, and the decisions that can be made during that transaction can capture data. It can also make decisions on the fly of what kind of content your audience might be seeing. And so what we do is take advantage of that emergent property to create split testing. Split testing is really just the idea that we're going to put together a hypothesis. Our hypothesis is that we might not know exactly what our audience is looking for. And as soon as you can take that ego and put it to the side and say, I'm interested in learning what my audience enjoys, you can start to run experiments. And in this example, we're taking a random sample. We're actually just flipping a coin. Every single time that our audience is interested in accessing our content, we're flipping that coin and we're saying, some of them are going to get the orange and some of them are going to get the green. And the only reason that we're doing that is because we're testing a hypothesis, which is it, orange or green? What's going to work? And what you can see from the metrics in this is that orange wins. And the reason that it wins is because I want to introduce you to a new king in town. Everyone is going to talk about discoverability as king, but I want to tell you that discoverability is incredibly simple. You just pay for it. And I think that's the thing that nobody's really acknowledging, is that discoverability is easy. The difficult part is conversion. And conversion is where you take that spark of discovery and you convert it down the value chain to an audience that remembers you, an audience that will continue to stay with you, and perhaps a long-term fan. And so conversion is the holy grail of all of this experience, and the reason that we do these split testings is because we have admitted that we might not know the answer. And that's what happened when we took on a concept which were adventure kits. We'll be talking about them upstairs, and I'd welcome you to come and take a look. They're adventure kits that are part book and part interactive, and they're meant for families. Parents order them online, they're shipped and a physical good to their house, and when they open them up, there are instructions about how to connect the pieces together, connected with apps and games that make an entirely personalized adventure for your child. And so the first question that we had was, what are we going to call this? And so we, like everybody, brainstormed some ideas and thought about which ones were in our top 10, but instead of making that ultimate call, we asked the audience. And we took a picture of my children, and we took some sample titles, and we just made an exact duplicate of each of them with different titles. So there's only one independent variable that's working on this project, which is, what is the title that's gonna get the highest conversion and engagement? And so what you can see here is that simply by choosing the title Together Tales, which I'm happy to introduce is the title of the project, we can double or triple the value of the discoverability of our project. After that, we had to ask ourselves, well, who is our audience? Now, traditional gender stereotypes often tell us that moms are the purchasers in the home for children's projects. Now, we certainly saw that bear itself out. You can see that moms turn out to be half as much money. It's twice as much money to reach a dad. And what I mean by that is that the way that media buying works is that the more interesting and engaging your content is, the less platforms will charge to spread it to that audience. So if you create something that everybody loves, it's a win-win. Something like Facebook wants to spread that content and they will do it for less money. But if you create something that is climbing a mountain of entertainment, they're going to charge for it because it's something that people don't want to see on Facebook. And so the what you're seeing here is an inverse relationship, is that the lower the value of an individual means the higher their engagement. And so in this example, it takes dads, you have to spend more to get dads to care about Together Tales than you would spend to get moms to care about it. But we're a little bit more sophisticated than just gender stereotypes, and so we went down another level, and we've actually gone down many other levels, but this is a sampling to say, well, what if we're talking to moms who are particularly passionate about literature? We thought, well, it's books, they love literature. And then we realized, actually, no, that's a red herring. We actually have to spend more to reach that for whatever demographic. But you can see for moms who like geocaching, I'm not going to raise hands, but I'm assuming some of you know geocaching, that sense of adventure, that sense of often playing outside with your children really resonated, and it led us to a lower bottom line. You can see it costs even less to reach moms who love geocaching. But there's also outliers, because while we were ready to dismiss fathers and saying, well, they don't care about buying children's products, there are dads in the subsets, like, for instance, those that love live-action role-playing games, that actually end up being less expensive than the moms. If we had just stopped at one distinction, we would have missed that group. And so the next step for us was to work on our first impression. As soon as we were able to attract people to our project, we had to convert them. And part of conversion is your homepage, your first experience, the messaging that you're doing. What you're seeing here are iterations that have been tested over time, where we started by describing the project in one way. We said, what is the color that's going to attract the most attention? How are things laid out to guide the user towards the story? And what I can say is that the one on the right is dramatically more valuable to us than the ones on the left. And that's been through the trial and error of experimentation. So that's where we get people to the project. We tell them about Together Tales. But I wanted to sort of go blue sky with you and imagine a future in which big data continues to inform us as creative professionals. And what you're seeing here is a project, one of our stories. And it's measured in the time it takes for a family to go from one chapter to the next chapter. And hopefully, the ideal is that they read a chapter at night, and then they wake up the next day, do the interactive activity, and then read the next chapter in the next day. They have a one-day delay. But you can see that we have a problem. Because right now, we have chapter 5 is sometimes taking a week for people to really realize, you know, remember it and to come back. And for us, that's a measurement of enthusiasm. There's something going on with chapter 4. And I think all of you can imagine where my head is at, that perhaps we need to try alternate chapter 4. And perhaps we need to think about ways that we could rewrite chapter 4 and to measure those against our control group to see what is happening in chapter 5. Why is it delaying people in that way? And how can we create a better product that people will enjoy more? After they're finished the product, a lot of audiences disappear. We never have another way to connect with them. But because we have this one-on-one relationship, we're able to use that moment at highest enthusiasm to capture a positive review and to translate that into an endorsement that another parent will see. We're also able to track influencers by offering them discounts, saying, if you love this one, come back, we'll give you a discount, and share this discount code with your friends so that we can say, this type of audience member can actually spread to 10 more, and to highlight the high-value people that we need to look for. But I wanted to leave you with one caveat as I run out of time, which is that this constant iteration and experimentation can leave you adrift in a creative world where all things being equal, we don't know what our creative vision is. And what I would encourage you is to imagine these as tools for you, but to also think about your anchor and to think about what is it about the work that you're doing that anchors you in one space, and how can you use the data that's being presented to you to shift and focus where that information is heading. And I'll give you a great example about short-term wins. What you saw in an earlier slide is that if we wanted to get the very most value out of our promotion, we would probably go for moms who love geocaching because they're the least expensive on the list. But what we found is if you really measure the entire path and you measure them all the way through, who gets through all 8 chapters of our story and then tells their friend that they want to buy another book, it actually becomes dads. And for whatever reason, it costs a little bit more in the short term, but it's so much more valuable in the long term. And what I would encourage you is that these are an incredible suite of tools for you, but I think that they're meant to be part of your toolkit when it comes to creative projects, and I hope that we'll have a chance to speak more about it later.
I know we're tight for time, but I feel like there's probably a question.
There's one back there.
Yeah. Hi. quick question for you. So I see that this is a launch of a project that hasn't been done before. That's what I'm assuming by looking at it. Where do you get your source of data if you don't have your audience developed yet?
And so that's part of the deal, is that discoverability doesn't come free. I defy anyone to discover a project that doesn't have any sort of budget to be able to reach that audience. But what we want to talk about is that you have to maximize every bit of it. The way that they talk about it is sort of a sales funnel. And what we're talking about is making that funnel as wide as possible so that every single person that we reach is the right person. And it creates much more value for us to reach those people. In the traditional marketing sense, we would just sort of blast as many people as we could that we would guess would be the right audience. And so part of the startup of Together Tales was a budget to start reaching an audience. And I don't think we could have done it any other way in the social platforms that we had.
Okay, so you're purchasing lists and things of that nature? I guess that's where I'm trying to go with that.
So, believe it or not, social media knows a lot about you. And so there are ways to do demographic targeting to say things like moms who like geocaching are actually people on Facebook who are members of a geocaching club and happen to be female and happen to also have baby pictures or some such. And so those things allow you to do demographic targeting. And then there's another world called search targeting, which is about people who declare things through search. And they say, I'm looking for this, suddenly they are marked in a way to say, okay, they're investigating that. And so these are part of the paid media environment that exists out there as an ecosystem.
Okay, thanks. We'll talk more at your booth.
Thank you, Evan.